Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open them to Exodus chapter 3. Today we're jumping back into our series titled The Bible, A True Story, a series that's taking us through this amazing book known as the Bible. It's a nonfiction account, right? It means it's a true account of God and His creation. We took a little break last week, as I mentioned earlier, as we had Brandon Bell and his family come and share with us as they're getting ready to be missionaries in France to Muslim refugees and international students. And he just shared a great message on following God. And so if you didn't get a chance to listen to that, I encourage you to go. You can listen to it online, especially if you call this your church home, because as we have adopted them now as missionaries, it'd be great for you to hear their heart, to hear him share. And so you can go and listen to that online if you missed it. But this morning we're going to continue in our series, and we're going to continue to look at a man named Moses, right? If you remember a few weeks ago, we heard the story of how the Israelites, they were growing in number. And because of this, Pharaoh was afraid that they would soon grow more powerful and stronger than the Egyptians and overpower them and take over control. And so he put them into slavery, and that didn't quite do it. And so he put out an order that all Hebrew boys, all Israelite boys, were to be thrown into the Nile River. They were to be killed. They were to lose their life. But we read last week that Moses' parents, they didn't listen to that order, right? That they hid him. They kept him secret. And they did that for 3 months until they couldn't do it no more. And so then they decided to put him in a basket. We talked about that. And send him kind of up the Nile. And his little sister was watching from a distance just to see, make sure, you know, no crocodiles came up and got him. Not that she could do anything about it, but just to kind of watch and see what happened to him. If you remember, the basket ends up by Pharaoh's daughter. And so Pharaoh's daughter finds him and decides to keep him as her own. And so Moses' sister, right, went and talked to Pharaoh's daughter and says, hey, do you need someone to nurse him and take care of him? And so Moses is saved. His life is saved. And then his own mother gets to nurse him and take care of him until he's a little bit older. And so this is kind of where we left off, if you remember a few weeks ago. But a lot of things have happened between then and where we're going to pick up today. And so I want to get you up to date on where we were at and where we're going to be at this morning. And so Moses, he's raised here now by Pharaoh's daughter. He is the grandson, kind of the adopted grandson of Pharaoh. But the cool thing is he knows that he is truly a Hebrew. And so he has a great compassion for the people of Israel. And one day after he had grown up, as he was kind of surveying the land, he's an adult now, and he was walking around and he sees this Egyptian man beating and mistreating one of the Hebrews. And so if you read the story, he ends up killing the Egyptian. And then he tries to bury his body in the sand, hoping that no one will know what he did, right? Trying to cover up his mistake here. But a few days later, if you read in the story, he saw some Hebrews arguing with one another, right? His Hebrew people that he loves. And so he tries to break them up. What are you doing arguing? But one of them responds by saying this. It says, who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me like you killed the Egyptian? Right? And so he responds. And so Moses becomes afraid. He thinks he has done this in secrecy. He thinks no one knows. And he realizes now that people know what he's done. And guess who finds out? Pharaoh finds out. And Pharaoh actually tries to have Moses killed. And so Moses takes off. He flees Egypt and he runs. He runs, and after running and getting away from Egypt, he ends up in this place called Midian. And it's in Midian that one day he sees these shepherds harassing these kind of shepherd women. And he's watching what's going on as they're kind of harassing him, and he goes to their rescue. And he helps them and he comes to their aid. And so their father finds out about this. And so he invites Moses to come and to work for him. And as Moses comes and works for him, he ends up giving Moses one of his daughters in marriage. And so Moses ends up getting married. He ends up having a son. He starts caring for his father-in-law's flocks. And so he does this for the next 40 years. He's forgotten all about Egypt. He's just taken off and he's living this new life. And for 40 years, he's there with a wife and his kids and caring for his father Jethro, which brings us to where we are in the scriptures this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, you can grab them and you can follow along with me. We're going to read Exodus 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 12. This is what it says. It says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and I'll see this strange sight. Why does this bush not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. The home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the whatever sites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me. And I have seen the way of the Egyptians, or I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on the mountain. And we're going to stop there this morning. So after 40 years of hiding out, God shows up and he tells Moses, it's time, right? It's time! If any of you MMA fans out there know what that is. It's time. It's time to stop hiding. It's time for him to do what God had created him to do. It's time for him to go and to help save his people, the Israelites, from this life of slavery, this life of oppression. And God shows up in a very amazing way. In a burning bush that's not actually burning. And this morning, I want to look at this story. I want to look at a few things that God showed me about this story. That God showed me in the midst of this moment. That out of the ordinary, God does something extraordinary. And there are three things I want to focus on this morning. And then I want to look at how God impacts those three things. So ultimately, I have 4 points for you this morning. And the first point this morning is this. Number one, it was just an ordinary day. It was just an ordinary day. When Moses woke up that morning, it was just a day like any other day. And as far as we know, again, we don't know, the scripture doesn't give us everything, but as far as we know, Moses had gone 40 years here without hearing God. And after 40 years of being out there on the farm, being out there for his father Jethro, if I can speak, I'm guessing that he kind of had a fairly regular routine. He probably got up at the crack of dawn, right, as most, you know, farmers and shepherds would do, to kind of care for his flock. You know, he probably had a little breakfast in the morning, maybe some ham and eggs, you know. Probably went through his morning routine, you know, some stretches, calisthenics. I don't know if they had CrossFit back then or not. Maybe, you know, he was in this CrossFit program. Probably went around and kind of counted his flocks, you would think. You know, a shepherd made sure that, you know, none of them had been stolen, none of them had been eaten at night by a wolf or something, you know. So probably this routine of going around counting his flocks. Probably kind of had this routine of, okay, let's feed them or maybe water them, take them to the watering hole. It was just an ordinary day. And he was doing what he ordinarily did. He had no idea that his life was about to change forever. He had no idea that God was about to kind of rock his world, in a sense, right? And the truth is, many of us, we know the reality of routine, right? We get caught up in routine. We've all experienced the life of an ordinary day, right? You know, especially for us during the school year, we kind of have these flows with our kids, you know. We experience the ordinary day, you know, going from one day to the next, you know, getting up, taking a shower, eating breakfast, you know, hurrying off to work or to school, coming home, eating, spending a little time with your family, maybe catching up on a little Netflix or Hulu, you know, then off to bed to what? Start it all over again. It's easy for us to kind of just get caught up in routine. It's easy for us to just go through life day in and day out feeling like ordinary people in an ordinary day doing ordinary things. Which is why it's important for us to understand that there was nothing special about this day. To Moses, it was just an ordinary day when he started. And then the second thing I want to point out this morning is this. It was an ordinary day, but it was also an ordinary bush. Okay? This was not some special kind of fiery bush, right? It was just a bush. There were probably hundreds of them, if not thousands of them, throughout this area. Moses had probably passed by this same bush time and time again, and he probably never even noticed it from one bush to the next. There was nothing significant about this bush other than the fact that at that moment and at that time, God decided to use it. And we're going to dive into that a little bit deeper when I get into my fourth point. But the third point I wanted to make first is this. It was just an ordinary day. It was just an ordinary bush. And number three, Moses was just an ordinary person. Now today when we hear the name Moses, we think of this amazing prophet in God's Word, right? We think of him as this amazing man of God who led the Israelites out of Egypt. Sorry if that's a spoiler for you, if you didn't know that's what we're going to get to in the next couple weeks, okay? But we know this story. We know that many people know he wrote the first five books of the Bible. We know Moses is this man who went up on the hill and he brought down the Ten Commandments to the people of Israel. There is no doubt Moses became an amazing man of God. But when we look at him this morning, in this context, in this scripture, at this time in his life, we realize that Moses was just an ordinary person. No different from you, no different from me. He made mistakes. He failed like all of us. We see that he ran from responsibility. He tried to hide out. And like many of us, he felt like his mistakes were too great to overcome. I'm guessing many of us may feel that way at times here in this room. Many of us, we struggle with our past. We struggle with our failures, feeling that our mistakes sometimes are too big for us to overcome. I think sometimes we find ourselves believing the lies of the enemy and thinking, well, man, God couldn't use you. Look at what you've done. Look at how you continue to mess up. How could God use you? We fall into the lies of the enemy. But we can't forget, when we think about Moses, he was just an ordinary man. And then we see what he did. We can't forget that this man that God is about to use, he was a murderer. Right? When you look at the truth, he was a murderer. He killed an Egyptian and he tried to cover it up. And if you actually look at the scripture in Exodus 2, if you actually go back to the scripture, it says that he was angry at this guy. He was mad. And he actually looked around. He looked around to see if anyone was there. And after realizing that no one was around, then he killed the Egyptian and he buried him, trying to keep anyone from knowing what he did. This wasn't an accident. Oops, I was angry and I hit him with a bat and it killed him, you know? This wasn't self-defense. Oh, he came at me afterwards and I was just protecting myself. This was intentional. He was angry. He was frustrated seeing his people being oppressed and treated the way that they were treated. And his anger in this situation, it got the best of him. He did something terrible that he would later regret. And I'm sure none of us have ever been in that place in our lives, right? Because we're perfect angels. We do everything just right. And we don't get angry. We don't get upset. We don't yell at our spouses. We don't do those things, right? We've all gone through that. It's interesting because I talk about my failures up here. I've been open with how I fell hard in the Marine Corps. But the interesting thing to me is that if some of you knew the deep, dark details of my secret life, that if I let those out, first, I don't think you would believe me. No, come on, Darren. There is no way. Because I was so messed up. I did a lot of things I wasn't proud of. But I'll tell you this, I'm glad I serve a God of redemption. A God who gives murderers, adulterers, liars, you name the sin, he gives them a second chance, not even just a second, a third chance, as many chances as we need to get back to that place with him. Moses was a murderer, but God knew this wasn't who Moses really was. This was Moses trying to take things into his own hands, trying to do things his way and failing miserably. We've all done that, tried to take things in our own hands and fail miserably. But we have to remember we serve a God of redemption, a God of grace and mercy. And in the same way he redeemed Moses, I can tell you he redeemed me. And in the same way he redeemed Moses, he redeems all of us. Which leads me to my key point this morning. Yes, the day was just an ordinary day. Yes, the bush was just an ordinary bush. And yes, Moses was just an ordinary person. But we serve a God who uses the ordinary to do the extraordinary. Out of the ordinary, God does extraordinary things. It may have been an ordinary day like any other day to begin for Moses. But we serve a God who loves stepping in to the ordinary, the mundane of our lives to do extraordinary things in and through us. God often shows up in the otherwise normal routines of our lives. Why? To shake us up, to shake up our world and lead us into the extraordinary. The question is, are we responding to these moments or are we just continuing in our everyday routines? How often do we view these moments as distractions? Oh, I got to get this done. I got to get through my day. I don't have time for this. How often do we view these things as distractions or as annoyances that slow us down and just get in the way of our normal routine? How often do we miss the opportunities that God brings our way? These opportunities that God put there on purpose with the intention of turning the ordinary into a supernatural experience that will impact and change lives. Oftentimes, those things that we label as distractions are actually opportunities from the Lord. And we can't forget that we serve a God that makes it a habit of turning the ordinary into the extraordinary. He will take our ordinary days that started off like just any other day. He'll take them and He'll turn them into life-changing days that impact the world around us. That's what He did for Moses this day. And He'll use ordinary things at times to grab our attention. As I mentioned, this bush, it was an ordinary bush. It wasn't anything special. There were bushes like this all around Moses. And I'm guessing this. And this is just my own guess, but I'm guessing that in his 40 years of caring for his father-in-law's herds and flocks out where he lived in the desert areas with these bushes all around, I'm guessing he might have seen some of those bushes catch on fire before. And it was nothing. He probably just walked right by it. If you look at the scripture, it wasn't the fact that this bush was on fire that caught his attention. It was the fact that this bush was on fire and it wasn't burning up. There was something different about this bush. He was intrigued because this ordinary bush was doing something extraordinary. And here's the thing, Moses became curious. And I think at times it's good for us to become curious when we see things, when things are happening, because this moment of curiosity was leading to a moment of clarity. If you pay close attention, it's at this moment that God chooses to speak to Moses. It says, because he came to that bush to see what was going on, God spoke to him. When the Lord had saw, it's verse 4, the actual word says, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called out to him from the bush, Moses, Moses. The reality is we live in a world that is full of noise, that's full of distractions, where we live our everyday mundane lives. And it seems to get harder and harder for God to get our attention. How often do we let the craziness and busyness of life keep us from noticing the miracles? From noticing the burning bushes that are happening around us? We serve a God of miracles. And whether we realize it or not, God is doing things all around us. In the midst of this fallen, broken, hurting world, God is moving all around us. And He wants to speak to us through these things. If we would simply take time to look and to notice what God is doing, if we would take time to go to Him and let Him speak the extraordinary into the midst of the ordinary. And finally, we can't forget the fact that Moses was an ordinary person, like you and me. But like us, God had a plan for his life. And he turned this ordinary person, this person who failed, this person who made mistakes, he turned him into an extraordinary person that changed the world. And the thing we have to realize is that it wasn't anything Moses did that made him extraordinary. A lot of times we look at these great, oh, well, yeah, but that's Moses. Well, that's Abraham. Well, that's David, man. Look, they were nothing before the power of God came into their lives. There wasn't anything Moses did that made him extraordinary. It was God at work in him. when we allow God to have His way in our lives, we see our lives transform from the ordinary into something extraordinary. God has a plan for our lives in the same way He had a plan for Moses. He wants to do extraordinary things through us. And it's a matter of us being willing to be used by God. We have to get over our own failures. We have to get over our own shortcomings. We have to realize that, yes, we are ordinary people. But God does extraordinary things. Moses struggled with this himself. In verse 11, Moses responds by saying, Who am I, God? I mean, who am I, right? How many of us, when God speaks, whoa, wait. Who am I, right? And if you read later in Exodus, he says, but God, I can't speak. I'm a stutterer, right? If you realize later, he does that. The scripture doesn't give us the way he actually said it, but if he's a stutterer, it probably was some stuttering in there, right? Who am I, God? Why would people ever listen to me? That was Moses. He was saying, I can't do this. I'm a nobody. What's he doing? He's making excuses like all of us do. He's feeling inadequate and trying to get God to find someone else. There's got to be someone else out there that's better than me. God says, no, I chose you. And as we talked about two weeks ago, God knew something Moses didn't. Right? That's the cool thing. God knows things that we don't. God knew it wasn't going to be Moses that saved his people. It was going to be God at work through Moses. And the same is true for all of us. God has plans for our lives. But it's not going to be us that carries out these plans. It's Christ in us. God is simply looking for ordinary people who are willing to be used by Him. That means with all our flaws, with all our shortcomings, all our failures, God is saying, hey, you don't got to get yourself together. Moses didn't have to get himself. God says, come as you are, so that He can do extraordinary things in and through our lives. The truth is, we have no idea what God can do through us. We have no idea what God can do through us if we truly give Him our lives. I want to share with you a video this morning of an amazing testimony we got to watch at our Foursquare National Connection this year. It's of how God works in and through our lives when we give Him control. It's about some missionaries from Cambodia and over what God has done over the last 20, 30 years now, what God has done in this community. And so I want to share this video for you this morning.
There has never been a woman that has ministered in the same way that Sue does here in Cambodia. Sue is known everywhere as Mat Sue, which means Mama Sue, and she is the mother of this ministry. Husband, you felt like God said, the reason I gave you this woman is so that you can minister together, first to your people and then to hers.
She didn't want to leave. So it was a real challenge. I knew that we'd been called, you know, and I had that word from the Lord 16 years before that. And somehow I knew in my heart this was the time to go to her country.
He just keep telling me he got a call to go back to Asia. I don't want to go back to Asia. And I said, I'll divorce you. I absolutely don't want to go.
There's a lot of reasons. The Vietnam War literally turned her world upside down. It was a very difficult time of her life. She lost a lot of family members. Everything she knew was gone.
That very Saturday night, God woke me up and said, go to your husband's dresser I put my hand up there and it was a letter.
God reminds her of a letter that she wrote to him, and he says, look, if God calls me into missions, calls me into ministry, are you gonna follow? And she wrote back and she said yes.
When I opened up, and God spoke to me, you have covenant with me. That's my covenant, because you say yes. And I woke him up and said, I'm going with you, because I have a covenant with God, I have a covenant with you.
Sue had favor in the nation almost as soon as they arrived. She was granted citizenship, and as a result of that, they bypassed one of the biggest problems that most ministries in Cambodia face, and that is not having reliable Cambodian leadership.
The first I came, and I just see and watching. It's all the man to do all the work. And God just put in my heart, he just released for me to go and do things. And I just start going out, travel around the country, and negotiate and build a church. And I'm surprised at myself. And normally they won't accept a woman to be a leadership. So I become mom for everybody. Even the minister of social affairs even call Matom. So they are excellency. They call me that. I guess it's so, wow. All right, God is so good.
Ted and Sue are very, very highly regarded, both by the Christian community and by the non-Christian community. They have won the respect of people through the good works that they're doing. They talk about meeting urgent needs and taking care of God's people, and that's what they feel called to do here. And so they have received awards from the government, they have received recognition from secular organizations, and I think they've won the hearts and minds of many, many people simply by the example of their lives. Sue has influence with all kinds of significant leaders, and she has influence with all these young children that they've been raising. When the orphans started being dropped off at the doorstep, they looked for other people to take care of the orphans. Nobody else would do it. And now 18,000 children later, a whole nation is being transformed and changed.
I call my children all this orphan. We've been raised 18,000. Some are pastors, some are doctors, some are lawyers.
They watch, they see, and then she gets to release them to do things. And you're going to see more and more men and women rising up in the years ahead.
I'm an orphan kid, so when I grow with them, what I see, they're kind. They're a good example for us about Holy Spirit that they had. So Pastor Sue, one day she called me to come on a stage about, Yen, you have spirit to lead worship. She said, you have anointing. So she put her hand on earth, so everything is boom. And she take us to know about God. We did not know clear about God. And she is close to us.
4-5 young ladies up there and lead worship, and they can pray. They can lay hand on people. I can see that. They can be somebody that God can use.
All these young girls are saying, I want to be like Mat Su when I grow up.
I have my real mom, but she never take care about me. But she always protect me. She always stay close to me. If I have problem, she always tell people that I thinking about her sometimes. I remember that the word that said, Yen, I love you. That's why right now, I raise my kid with the word she talked to me before that she do to me, she did to me. Sometimes I try to remind me, Yen, Ma is a wonderful woman. She a strong woman. I need to do the same her.
She had a really comfortable life in America. Why come back here? But she did. And her life here has been anything but comfortable. I've just been amazed at her perseverance, at her resilience in ministry, because she knows that God's called her to see a nation come to Christ.
We have our woman leadership to come to my house, and I was training to send them out to do the woman ministry. 2-3 women said, I want to be like you. Then my daughter said, I want to be like Sister Amy. Yeah. She inspired me how God anointed her. This simple message said, God, I really like to be like her. I want your anointing. Since that day, the key for me, I cannot live without Holy Spirit. I cannot preach or teach or anything without I'm praying in the Spirit. You want to know the truth? There's only one person can teach you, that Holy Spirit. He will lead you and guide you all the truth. Simple as that.
It's an amazing story, right? And it's interesting because I heard when they went over there, they weren't really sure. They went over just with this heart to be missionaries, not knowing what that would look like. And it started with someone dropping off an orphan on their front step. And then another orphan, and that became one of their ministries of ministering to young people. And you heard there are 18,000 more orphans, 18,000 orphans that Mama Sue and her husband Ted have touched because of being willing to let God do the extraordinary through an ordinary woman, someone who didn't even want to go, who didn't want to be a missionary. And I love what she says there at the end of the video, because she says that it's the Holy Spirit. And the reality is there is only one thing that can take us from ordinary to extraordinary, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit in and through our lives. We serve a God that uses the ordinary to do the extraordinary, and He does it through the Holy Spirit that is alive in His people. Colossians 1:26 and 27, you've heard me share it time and time again. But it's that scripture that reminds us. This is what it says. It says, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. What's the mystery? The mystery is the power, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit is alive in us, in God's people, and it turns us from ordinary, everyday people into the extraordinary, and it makes us the hope of glory to those around us. We may not be called to take the Israelites out of Egypt, but we may be called to love our neighbors in a way that changes their lives forever, that impacts the little kids in our neighborhoods, that impacts our own kids, to just be the mother or father that God has called us to be. And I think the question is, are we living the life of the ordinary? Or have we discovered who God has created us to be, and we're allowing His Spirit to live in us in a way that we live extraordinary lives? I know I'm doing my best, and I'm trying to live the latter, and I hope that the same is true for each of us here this morning, that we're seeking to let God transform us from the inside out, from ordinary people into extraordinary people that see His kingdom extended. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, You've given us Your Word, and it's an amazing account of how You have moved throughout history, how You have moved throughout lives, how You had a plan, Lord, to bring redemption, to bring people to You. We thank You for Moses. We thank You for the example that he is to us, Lord. And we know Moses was this amazing man of God. But originally, he was just an ordinary person. And Lord, we are all ordinary people, but when we choose to say yes to You, when we choose to walk in the power of Your Spirit, You transform us into extraordinary people that change the world. And Lord, I pray that we would be a church that, Lord, it starts right here in our community. That as we let the power of Your Spirit live in and through us, that we change our community for the positive, Lord. that we're making a difference in the lives of those around us, seeing Your Spirit move in and through us. Whether that's just loving our neighbors, Lord. Whether that's serving here in the church in ways that we go out and make a difference. Or whatever that looks like, we give it to You, Lord. May we be open and listening to You, Lord. What is it that You're calling us to do? What is it that You're asking of us, Lord? And if we aren't hearing You, Lord, if we're having trouble listening, Lord, may You do something like You did for Moses that would get our attention. Lord, that You would draw us to You, that You would take something ordinary, make it extraordinary to draw us, to bring us from curiosity to clarity, Lord, where we learn to walk in You and trust in You and live the lives that You have called us to live, Lord. Because that's what it's about, that we're honoring You in all that we do and delighting in the process. And so we give You this word, Lord. May You allow it to penetrate our hearts. May we each look at it and do our best to apply it to our own lives, Lord. We give these things to You. We just seek You with all that we are. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.